Today's message is sponsored to Your Next Level by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
Look at John, the first chapter, verse 32 through 34. Jesus' ministry was both initiated and maintained by sponsors. Somebody God raised up to help him. Use their power, their ability, their influence to help him to the next level of what he needed to do for his ministry. I talked about him already, John the Baptist. And John 1, 32 through 34, and John bare record, this is John the Baptist, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. So he said, when he came, I didn't know that was him. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining all on him, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. John said, I was there. And so John becomes a sponsor and says, this is him, y'all. Interesting enough, I mentioned offense earlier. Because what happened later with John? John got offended because Jesus didn't come on a white horse and break him out of prison. So he sends his disciples and said, ask him. Is he the one, or should we look for another? Hold up. Is this the same John who says, the Lord himself told me, when you see the Spirit descend on and remain, that's him. He said, and I saw it. He knew what God said. He had a divine encounter. But when he get offended, my season's up. Oh, y'all quiet on me this morning. My season's up. Now, Jesus didn't change. Jesus didn't do something that John expected him to do. John got offended. But God had connected John to Jesus, connected Jesus to John. So sponsors, Jesus' ministry was both initiated and maintained by sponsors. It was sponsors who provided funding and financial support for Jesus' ministry. Look at Luke 8 and 3. A lot of people don't. But yeah, Jesus didn't have take no offerings. You hear people say stuff like that. There are churches today, they don't receive offerings. I didn't say they don't receive giving, they don't receive offerings. I'm hearing about these churches who they just got the buckets in the back and the people just know. You know those folks don't have many Ninevites in them. Anyway. Really, they don't receive offering, they don't get say anything. They just have buckets in the back, people just know you're supposed to give. That would be wonderful. And it would be wonderful one day we could get to that place. Because I'm one of the people, whether you took the offering or not, I'm going to give my tithes and offering, I'm going to give generously. Some of us are there, and there's others like, man, this is a free church. Jesus' ministry was funded. Look at Luke 8 and 3. Joanna, the wife of Chuzza, Herod Stewart, another translation says she was his business manager of Herod, okay, who's the king. Joanna, the wife of Chuzza, Herod Stewart, and Susanna, come on, read the next part with me, and what? And many others which ministered unto him of their substance. They were sponsoring Jesus' ministry. New Living Translation says, there it is, Joanna, the wife of Chuzza, Herod's business manager, Susanna, and many others were contributing from their own resources to support Jesus and his disciples. How do you think a man has a ministry and tells 12 men to follow me, leave your fishing behind, leave your tax collecting behind, close down your medical practice and come follow me, and he's not able to support these men? These people weren't living in poverty. There were people who sponsored the ministry, helped Jesus fulfill his purpose here on earth. Ruth was a young widow who had a sponsor. Come on, ladies, what was her name? Naomi. Naomi was Ruth's sponsor. Without going into the full story, read it in the book of Ruth. It's not a very, very large book, long book. But Naomi has two daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth. Naomi's husband died, her two sons died, and now she left with two daughter-in-law. There are no men, there's a famine in the land, and Naomi said, I'm going back to my own people, y'all go back to your own people, because I believe they were Moabites, okay. They weren't Jewish people, y'all go back, and Orpah said, deuces, I'm out. Thank you. I'm glad you did. And Naomi, Ruth says to her mother-in-law, said, listen, please entreat me not to leave you. Where you go, I'll go. Where you lodge, I'll lodge. Your people be my people and your God will be. I'm going where you're going. And so she stays with her. And so she's, and now she's a young woman. She's a young widow. And so Naomi mentors her how to get a man. Uh-oh. Somebody just perked up. Some of you women don't know there's a sponsor that can help you get a man. Mm-hmm. And it may not, see, you try and show everything. That may not be the way to get the man, not the right man. I know you went everything up to here and everything. Then you come sit in church like you didn't realize that this was short. And you're sitting down talking about, you knew it was short when you left the house. I know everybody got all the breasts showing and then show the tattoo that they got so they can show it on their breasts. That may not be the way to get Boaz. That's the man. Now, you may get broke ass. I said as. A-Z. But you might not get Boaz. So you may need a sponsor who said, baby, you don't need to be showing. Save some of that sexiness for your husbands. She mentored her, sponsored her to get a husband. Ruth, 3rd chapter, verse 1 through 3. Let me try to speed this up here. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee? I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to make your life better. I'm seeking rest for you, that it may be well with thee. She said, girl, I'm going to help you get a good man. Verse 2. And now is not Boaz of our kindred, and whose maiden thou was? Behold, he went in with barley to the night in the threshing floor. Oh, watch this, y'all. The first sponsorship word she gave her. The first thing she had. Verse 3. Watch it, y'all. Come on, read it with me. Wash thyself. Hey, come on. Hey. Oh, there was anointing on that. The first thing Naomi told Ruth, girl, you got to wash yourself. No man wouldn't be smelling all that. She told her what? Wash yourself. If a man been out working, he been sweating from playing basketball, working on a construction roof. You say, man, yeah, that smell like work, you know, smell like work, you know, smell like, you know, he hard work. You can see, man, here, God, smell manly. Woman, that's just stank. Don't get mad at me, y'all. It's in the word. Is it in the word? I'm still in the word. She sponsored her. She said, baby, wash yourself and anoint thee. I mean, put some nice perfumes and stuff, and then put some nice clothes on. She told, I'm very serious here. She taught her hygiene. Okay. She taught her how to make herself up. And she also told her what kind of clothing to wear. Now, I'm very serious about this here. He's saying, then get down to the floor and make not thyself known unto the man until he have done eating and drinking. I ain't going to go into all that because there's still some mystery about the book of Ruth that we ain't going to talk about. Y'all need to get a little Bible study and talk about that in private, because some of that stuff went on. I ain't quite sure everything that happened. I tell you that she got her man. Look at this. I want you to see this. Some of you younger women, I thought there's going to be one message, but obviously it's not. Some of you younger women, you need to be sponsored by an older woman. Mm-hmm. I know it's a new day. We were in Brooks Brothers a couple weeks ago, and they have these books in there. It was several books, How to Be a Gentleman, How to Be a Lady, telling you how you conduct yourself in various things and how you present yourself and how you talk and all this kind of stuff. It was saying stuff like, you don't chew gum when you're having a conversation with somebody. Jesus, I know. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. You know, it was talking about the tone of your voice and all these things. Some of you younger women, you need to be sponsored by an older woman. Some of you younger men, you need to allow yourself to be sponsored by an older man. Now, in the ideal, this is supposed to happen with our parents. That's the ideal. But a lot of us, we did not have the ideal situation for whatever reason. And you need to find somebody who's at another level. This is so good, y'all. I thought I was going to preach this today. I really did. But you need to find somebody who's at another level, a level that you want to be, and allow that person to speak into your life. You're trying to go to the next level in your company. You're trying to go to the next level in your career. Well, do they look like that? The people at the level you're trying to go to. I learned, heard this years ago. Dress where you're going, not where you are. If you're going to an affair, you may have whatever on now, but you find out what's the dress code for this event. Because you dress for where you're going, not for where you are. That's good stuff. So look, somebody tell them, I'm so glad I came to church today. I'm sponsoring you to your next level right now. Titus 2, 3 through 4. It says this. The New Living Translation of Titus 2, 3 and 4. It says, similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. He says, so it needs to start with an example. They must not slander others. Lord Jesus, I should have got a different translation. or be drinkers. Somebody just highlighted the word heavy. The Lord, I ain't no heavy drinker. I'm a light drinker, but I ain't no heavy drinker. But the Bible says, New Living Translation, ain't supposed to be no heavy drinker now. As a matter of fact, I've lost quite a bit of weight. So I ain't no heavy drinker no more. Some of y'all get that later. I think that the traditional King James said not given to wine, right? I think it said not given to wine. He said that, and it can't be slang, can't be always gossiping and talking about people. He said, older women, you gotta teach the younger women. He said, first of all, y'all need to be sensible and wise, an example for younger women to follow. He said, instead, they should teach others what is good. Verse 4, the older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children. The reason why so many men don't know how to be a husband, no man has taught them how to be a husband. The reason why so many women don't know how to be wives, no woman has taught them how to be a wife. And in so many times, you need somebody who can sponsor you to your next level. David, I'll have to end with this one. I really thought I was going to do this one message. It's kind of funny. David was destined to be king. So God used a prince, Jonathan, to help sponsor him. A sponsor many times helps to mentor you, groom you, and prepare you to operate at the next level. Look at 1 Samuel 18. Now, Jonathan becomes David's best friend. But Jonathan is Saul, the first king of Israel's son. 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. And it came to pass, when he made an end of speaking to Saul, that the soul of Jonathan, Saul's son, was knit with the soul of David. They became best friends. That was his boy. People say today, that was your dog. Okay? Their souls were knit together. And David loved him as his own soul. By the way, some people try to allege this is a justification for homosexuality. Get that stuff out of here. This is not even implied there at all. People talk about the relationship of Jonathan and David. Verse 2. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more to his father's house. David kills Goliath. Saul sees, boy, this is a young man. Sees these men got some skills. I want to bring him around me. His intentions initially were good. We know an evil spirit comes late and tries to make him kill David. But first he brings him. He brings him to his house and to the palace and starts grooming him. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And David stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David. Then he gave him clothes and he even gave him his sword down to his bow and down to his girdle or his belt. What was he doing? He was grooming David because he had insight to the fact that David was God's chosen one to succeed his father, not even him. And so he groomed him. You know, it takes a special person to help somebody be something that you may never be. It takes a special person to help groom somebody to do something you would never do. You just got to know that's not your calling. That's not your position. Doesn't mean you're not valuable to God. It doesn't mean you're not worth anything to God. It just means there's a different assignment in life. And if God can use you to help sponsor somebody to fulfill their assignment, you ought to thank God for that opportunity. Amen. Then after Samuel anointed David to be king, David has sponsors who prayed for him and who fought for his destiny. Which reminds me, when Nehemiah was building the walls of Jerusalem, there's a scripture I believe in, was that First Chronicle, Second Chronicle. And he says, so they built the wall basically with a hammer in one hand and a sword in the other hand. And he said, while you're building, you might have to fight. Come on now. Families, I know you're building your career, but you have to fight for your family. I know you're building your finances, but you still have to fight for your marriage. Because you don't want to, watch this, you don't want to get to a top of a ladder to go to another level and nobody there with you. So David has sponsors who prayed for him and helped fight for his destiny. First Chronicles 11 chapter verse 10. It says, these also are the chief of the mighty men which David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom. With all Israel, watch this, they strengthened themselves with him. They gathered together for this purpose. Read it. To make him king. Not so they can be king. To make him king. Now, you know, in politics, they always have people work on the campaigns, you know, who they're there for a reason. Well, you know, if you get, you know, make me the Secretary of Defense, make me this, or give so much money to my state. But it's one thing not to have any agenda other than just that. Cause that person to fulfill their destiny and get where they're supposed to go. To make him king according to the word, they knew the word of the Lord concerning Israel. 1 Chronicles 12 chapter, verse 21 and 22. And they helped David. They helped David, 1 Chronicles 12, 21, 22. They helped David against the band of rovers. When people trying to keep him from fulfilling his destiny, they helped David. For they were all mighty men of valor and were captains in the host. Verse 22. For at that time, day by day, there came to David to help him until it was like a great host, like the host of God. Man, that scripture blessed me. I did a series or a message one time called Help Comes Every Day. Every day help came to David. God had a plan for David. Watch this. David is young, but he's anointed. God calls him to be the next king. How am I going to reach the place that God told me to reach? How am I going to do the thing that God put in my heart to do? God will send help. God has sponsors. Don't despise people. Don't try to live this independent life. I don't need anybody. My aunt Mother Betty, she used to always say this: if you live by yourself, you'll die by yourself. If you live by yourself, you'll die by yourself. How many times we've heard about these people who are in a home, in an apartment, and they were dead, and sometime a month or a couple months, the body decomposing. Why? Because they had no relationship with people who would check on them. And finally, somebody smelled a stench. Or just started recognizing there was some routine that they used to see this person coming in and out. But now they no longer see it. You need to be in connection with somebody because God's going to use people to help get you to your next level. Are y'all listening to me here? He said, and they came day by day. They came to David to help him. It was like the hosts of God. God can surround you with so much help. You're like, man, God himself is helping me. I sometimes you wonder, how am I going to fulfill that what God told me to do? How am I going to raise these children? God will send you help. How am I going to expand this business? God will send you help. Glory to God. But sometimes you have to wait on the help. When some of you heard me say before, when we started this ministry, in the first month, I wanted to do these. And when I look back now, it was so crazy, so ludicrous. I was going to do these open house services. And I called my prior pastors because I think people need to know you got some history. You didn't just come up from under a rock somewhere. Amen. That's the whole purpose of being licensed or ordained. Somebody else can vouch for you that you got some history, and you're not just Jack the Ripper running off to a new city trying to start something because everybody know about you in the old city. And so I called my old pastors up who I served with and served under, and they were going to come. And but one of my pastors said, the one who launched it, he said, when are you going to have these services? I said, well we're going to start in April, and by the end of April, I want to do these. He said, well, who you got? I said, well, I got three people. He said, okay, well, he said, who's going to usher? I said, who gonna count the money? Cause y'all know it ain't good for the preacher to count the money. I'm telling you, preachers, stop counting that money. Keep your hand off the money. Let somebody else handle that stuff. Okay. He said, who gonna count the money? And who gonna do this? I hadn't thought about all that. Sometimes you're trying to rush and do something and need to slow down till God give you the help. And that's why who am I talking to today? That's why you're so stressed. That's why you're so stressed. That's why you feel like pulling your hair out, taking your weave off. I mean, snatching the weave out or taking the wig off. Because you just need to wait till God gives you a sponsor. Let me end by saying this. You know who's supposed to be the first sponsor in your life? Your parents. That's the truth, y'all. A couple years ago, me and another couple in church, we went to Charlotte to hear Condoleezza Rice speak. Y'all know Condoleezza Rice was? The first African-American Secretary of State. I think, and first female. No, she wasn't. No, Albright was, okay. But first African-American Secretary of State. And she was speaking at the Belk Theater there in Charlotte. And she said something that struck me. She said, I had great parents. She said, everyone has not been fortunate enough to say that. She said, so every child needs an advocate. Because every child doesn't have great parents. And I thought about that. Again, certain things I hear, and I'm always thinking about my family. I said, I want my children to be able to say that about me. I had great parents. I turned the TV on this morning. There's a sports show that comes on, and he's interviewing. I'm not really into Major League Baseball like that, but he interviewed somebody who's a star on the Padres, and he says, I heard that your father really wasn't involved in your life much and around much, and so he tried to get him to talk. And the guy said, you know, he was around when he could be. He said, we worked that out. Is all good now. He said, well, tell me, what was that like? He said, as I said, we worked that out. No, we're saying, I'm not trying to go there. I'm not trying to talk about that. And I thought about the fact that I said, I want my children to always say I had great parents. You had great parents? Yeah, great parents. What else you going to say right now while you're I thought about it. I want them to say I had great parents. So parents, make up your mind. You're going to be, David sponsored his son, right? Didn't he sponsor him? For his assignment in life. He said, God called him to build a temple. Let me start preparing. He got a great assignment in his life. I'm going to be his first sponsor. And then he asked the other people to help sponsor his son. Stop worrying about how you're going to get there. If you're in the will of God, and I just scratched the surface this morning. If you're in the will of God, there's help for you. I say you can always measure whether you're in the will of God by three things. I call it HIP. Help, increase, and provision. If you're in the will of God, help gonna show up. If you're in the will of God, there will be increase. Now, don't measure your increase by somebody else's increase. First the blade, then the ear, then a full corn in the ear. But there will be increase. And then the third thing, if you're in the will of God, there will be provision. Because I learned this from Mother Bailey. Because where he leads, he feeds. Where he guides, he provides. And where he directs, he protects. And I learned this from my good friend, Apostle Otis Lockett. And if it's his will, it's his bill.
Getting to your next level will require persistence and help. Just as Naomi helped Ruth to get to her next level, God will raise up someone to sponsor you to your next stage in life. Dr. Herbert Bailey encourages you to receive the person and help that will propel you to your next level. Order this two-part series today for your love gift of $10 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Sponsor to Your Next Level.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1501 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at www.rightdirection.info. Or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.